Privilege of fellowshipping with them through the years. Heard a story the other day about a preacher and two deacons went deer hunting, and this big buck deer appeared, and all three of them got excited, and bang, bang, bang. I mean, all of them shot, okay? And here they were standing over the deer, arguing about which one killed the deer. About that time, a game warden appeared. And it's deer season, so nothing wrong with shooting a deer and so forth. But he said, "What's the conversation?" They said, "Well, he's the preacher and we're the deacons and so forth of a church. And all of us think that it was our shot that killed the deer." And the game warden examined the deer and said, "Okay, which one is the preacher?" And the preacher lifted his hand, "I'm the preacher. It was your shot that killed the deer." And the two deacons said, "Now, how in the world could you figure that out?" He said, "We noticed the bullet went in one ear and right out the other." All right. We don't have a lot of time tonight, okay? So let's don't let it go in one ear and out the other one, all right? Let's be attentive. 2 Timothy chapter 1, open your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul makes this statement in verse 11. "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Amen. Dear Lord, I pray you'll bless your word tonight. Bless me as I try to encourage your people to be all that they can to reach this great multitude of unevangelized people here in our own city, in our own state, in our own country, and around the world. And we'll praise you for all you do again tonight, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I just want to speak to you together tonight for just a few minutes on this subject. Total commitment. Total commitment. Perhaps you heard the story about the pig and the chicken that had a conversation. And the farmer, Farmer Brown, was a very faithful farmer. And the pig and the chicken were talking together. And they said, Farmer Brown loves breakfast. So it would be nice that we would prepare a menu for Farmer Brown. And so the chicken suggested that we have ham and eggs. And the pig replied, "For you, that's an offering. For me, that's a sacrifice." Amen. Now, if we're not careful, we will have a token interest in this matter of world evangelization. I go to places everywhere. "Oh, our church is mission-minded." And they do very little for the cause of Christ. So it would be awfully easy for us to just have a token interest. But wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we got totally committed to this matter of getting the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth? And I like what Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Now somebody might say, "Well, the correct sentence, the construction of that sentence perhaps should be, I know in whom I have believed." And somebody else said, "Well, Paul didn't want even a preposition to stand between him and the Lord." Amen. Now, I know it wasn't written in English, but it's a good preaching anyway, okay? "I know whom I have believed. I have trusted. I have committed everything into somebody I know." Amen. Not an institution, but a person, the Lord Jesus. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Let me make a simple statement. Anything I commit to the Lord, I can cease worrying about that thing. Because, I mean, after all, he's the sovereign God of the universe. He'll take care of it. Anything I refuse to commit to the Lord, I had better worry about it because I'm going to mess it up, okay? I know whom I have believed. Let me mention real quickly three things that all of us ought to be sure we have committed to the Lord. Number one, we must be real sure tonight that I have committed my soul to the Lord. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. Has there been a time and a place in your life when you recognized you were a sinner and on your way to hell, and you could not save yourself, and you realized that Jesus Christ, God's Son, suffered and bled and died for you? He paid your sin debt, and in simple childlike faith, you trusted him as your Lord and your Savior. If you have, you are as good as if you were already in heaven tonight. Amen. I don't have to worry about my soul because I've committed my soul to the Lord. Then I must be sure that not only my soul, but I myself am committed to the Lord. And when we commit ourselves to the Lord, again, we don't have to worry about all of the things that uncommitted people have to worry about. Even at my age, not too long ago, I was with Brother Kerry Smith. And he said, "Brother Sis, what's in the future for you?" And I said, "Kerry, I'm 82 years old. I don't have any idea about the future," amen. "This is the future." It's kind of like when Brother Sam first came here. And he was 28 years old, 29 years old, something like that. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Sis, my desire is to train the next generation." I said, "Brother Sams, you are the next generation, amen." And hey, what's the future? I don't have any idea, okay? But I do know that today I'm where God wants me to be. And if I am where God wants me to be today, then I don't have to worry about the future. That's in the hands of God. So I must be sure that my soul is committed to the Lord. I must be sure that I myself am committed to the Lord. And I must be sure that my substance is committed to the Lord. In other words, when I commit what I have to the Lord. And I've often thought, what could really get us totally involved in this matter of world evangelization? Now, let me give you two things tonight. Number one, if we really took seriously the Word of God, I believe we would be a whole lot more involved in what God would have us to do. I believe that our lives would be committed to Him to go anywhere He wants us to go, to be anything that He wants us to be. Our substance would be committed to Him to give anything that He wants us to give. God has blessed us here in the United States of America materialistically in an unbelievable way. What if we were really totally committed to world evangelization? Would not a much larger portion of what God has given us be used for the cause of reaching the untold millions with the gospel message? If we would really listen to the Word of God like they did in the day of Ezra. The day of Ezra, he met with the people, he had the Bible, and he began to read from the Bible. And the Bible tells us that he read from early morning until midday. I mean, just reading the Bible, about 6 hours or more, probably. And listen what happened. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed Jehovah, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," with the lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and they worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground. Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we open the Word of God, if every time we come to the preaching of the Word of God, that we would listen to God's Word in that way. And to really take seriously what God's Word says. For instance, listen very carefully tonight. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to Paul. He says, I beg you, think about the mercies of God. And then I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wouldn't it not be good that when we would listen to that, you not go in one ear and out the other, okay? Hey, this is serious. God wants me to be totally committed to Him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we listened to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20? What, know you not? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. For ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Listen to God's Word tonight. Listen to God's Word, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man, he's talking about mission giving. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Listen to God's Word intently. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. And in a few minutes, you'll be given a card. You'll have a card in your hand, and you'll be asked to make a commitment to give something every week above your regular tithe and offering for world evangelization. Listen to God's Word. Another great factor would be this. If we could just stop and think of what the gospel really means. I mean, just these two things, and it's not going to be long, okay? But just these two things, the Word of God and the gospel. So let's just think just for a minute tonight. Paul says in Romans 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Hey, by the way, that describes every one of us tonight. And let's think about our lost condition. And then think about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to it as Paul goes on. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Think about the gospel. We were lost. We were unprofitable to God. We were alienated from God. We were enemies of God. But God's Son, Jesus Christ, left heaven and came to this earth and lived a perfect life and suffered and bled and died. He died a substitutionary death. He died the death that I should have died and you should have died. He died for us. And thank God He died not only for us, but the Bible says He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Think of the lostness of yourself. And then think of the multitudes tonight that are without Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You think about 7.4 billion people on the face of the earth tonight. The great majority of them are under the condemnation of God. They are not going to be lost. They are already lost. And all that's keeping them out of a devil's hell is the brittle thread of life. Think of the lostness of the great multitudes of the people around the world tonight. Let the Word of God and let the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be a reality tonight as you think about what you personally are going to do. Tonight, we have two things. Number one, it's commitment night. It's a wonderful night when we get the opportunity to make commitments. Number two, in just a few moments, we're going to have a business meeting at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor mentioned it earlier in the service. I want you to take out your commitment card if you would. And tonight we're going to vote. Now most of the time when we vote in business meetings, we vote by saying yay or nay. We vote by standing up. We vote by lifting our hand or something. But tonight we're not going to vote by saying yay or nay. We're not going to vote by lifting our hands or by standing up and so forth. But in reality, we're going to vote by what we put on this card tonight. And it's not because of myself that's here. It's not because the missionaries are here. It's not because of anybody. But this particular meeting, the mission conference, the stewardship meeting, in all reality, is the most important meeting we'll have all year. Because in reality, tonight, and Sunday morning and Sunday night, Lancaster Baptist Church is going to vote as to what you're going to do in the coming year. We have three things on your card. You've seen it over and over again, but repetition is good. Amen. Number one, every member of Lancaster Baptist Church ought to be a tither. And that's a simple process, okay? The tithe is at least 10% of everything that God gives you. That's simple, okay? You don't have to pray about that a whole lot. In fact, one fellow in Bowling Green, Kentucky one time said to me, and I knew him, and I knew he wasn't a tither, and he said to me, he said, Brother Sisk, I want you to pray with me about tithing. And I said, no, I'm not going to pray with you about tithing. He said, don't you think tithing is spiritual? I said, I know it is. But you're not trying to pray about it. You're trying to talk God out of it. Amen. I mean, if God has already said to do something, you don't really have to pray a lot about that. Amen. I mean, the tithe is at least 10% of everything that God gives you. And the Bible teaches us, will a man rob God? Just you rob me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In other words, when we do not tithe, in reality, we are taking what's God and using it for ourselves, and that's robbing God. So why wouldn't everybody be a tither? And after all, God has promised to bless you if you'll do it. Wow, what a bargain, amen? So everybody ought to tithe. Number two, every member is going to be asked to give something to missions above your regular tithe and your offering. We call that grace giving. We call it faith promise giving. It really doesn't make any difference to me what you call it, as long as you do it. Amen. But But the Bible is very, very clear in this, that this is not for a few people. This is for every member of the church. And let me emphasize again the verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. I mean, you've heard it over and over again. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So every mission conference, every member of Lancaster Baptist Church is asked to make a commitment to give something above and beyond your regular tithe and offering for world evangelization. And last year, something close to $1 million was given. Thank God for that. But that's over. This is a new year. And so tonight, you're going to vote on your mission budget for the coming year. And since it's an election and it's a business meeting, there's some options. And here are the options. You could, option number one, you could say, well, I'm not going to fill out a commitment card. I'm not going to make a commitment. And your vote is, I vote that we stop supporting all of the 200 plus missionaries we're supporting and never send any more money for mission. That would be a bad vote, would it not? And yet in reality, some of you vote like that every year. You've never made a commitment to give anything for world evangelization. Again, you could have said, well, I've not had a real good year this year, so I'm going to give something, but I'm going to give less than I gave last year. And that would mean you would have to cut down on our mission giving to our missionaries, support them less, or not have any part in their projects and so forth. Or you could give good Baptist and say, well, I'm just going to hold my own. Hold the fort, amen? In other words, I'm just going to keep giving what I've been giving. Or you could, and here's the fourth option, you could say, I gave to missions last year, but I'm going to add to that this year. And by the way, Paul made this statement. When your faith is increased, we, the missionaries, will be enabled to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And what Paul was saying is your faith ought to increase every year. My wife and I have been giving for 68 years, and our faith has increased every year for 68 years, I'm sorry, since 1968. How many years that was? The math teacher will tell you. I don't know, okay? And by the way, I have increased my faith promise again this year. Now, if you're not already giving to missions, this is the way you ought to pray. Dear Lord, how much would you have me to give? If you are giving, then your prayer ought to be, how much would you have me to increase my giving? And by the way, you don't just put the increase down there. You put the entire amount. Because this is a brand new year, a brand new commitment. Whatever you committed last year, today ends that. Sunday begins a new commitment. So we're going to vote in a few minutes. Now, pardon me a minute, okay? I cannot conceive of a born-again child of God who realizes they were lost and on their way to hell and has been saved by the grace of God to say, I'm not going to do anything for missions. Now, I'm sorry, I have a hard time figuring that out. Everybody ought to do something. And by the way, everybody ought to do more than they've ever done before. I like that statement, okay? Let's say it once again this year. Now repeat after me. If you do it good the first time, we'll have to do it one time, okay? I'm going to say it, and I want you to say it all together. Everyone giving something. Wow, that's good. And everyone giving more than they ever gave before. This is not a time for retreat. No, you don't have to repeat that. That's part of that. Some of you were good listeners, amen. It's not a time to go backwards, folks. And then I think about the future. And I tell you, if anything thrills me, it's seeing little children like we saw Sunday night. I mean, you know, I think of my own children. And I think of my grandchildren. And by the way, I never dreamed that grandchildren would ever become insignificant. But they did. God began to give us great-grandchildren. And all of a sudden, our grandchildren mean nothing anymore. But I watch those little children, Brother Chaplin. And I think, would to God that those little children would have the same thing that you and I have had, the opportunities to have a wonderful church. How can we do that? We can do that by getting involved in the Gideon Fund. The mortgage prepayments. And we heard Dr. Chappell give a very plain explanation of what's happening. He said, well, Brother Sisk, this giving thing, it has to end somewhere, doesn't it? And I'm going to agree with you tonight, okay? This matter of giving, giving to missions, giving the tithe, giving to this, it has to end somewhere. It has to end somewhere, okay? And here's where it ends. When God's resources runs out, it's all over. And guess what? He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, all the gold and the silver in the hills. I mean, he owns it all. It all belongs to him. And he has promised to give it to us as we give back to him. Amen. Several years ago, we were going through a recession, depression, whatever they call it. Remember my statement I said? I hear that we're going through a recession. I refuse to participate. Say, okay, how do you refuse to participate? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. By the way, it doesn't say when the economy is good, give and it shall be given. No, no, no. God is in control of the economy. Amen. And I don't see any reason for hardly anybody in this congregation tonight to say, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to give to missions, and I'm not going to give to the Gideon Fund. We all ought to do something for the glory of God. We're going to have a business meeting. I believe it's going to be successful, okay? It's going to be successful because you participate.